Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Who are going to be the top 10 offenses in the 2025 season according to NFL.com? That is that's what we're going to do here. And where do you think the Texans rate? 713-572-4610. Where do we rank? Where would you rank the Texans in the 2025 offenses? I was very intrigued to see this because obviously we know the national perspective is not always super dialed in, but it's always interesting to see what that national perspective is and where people are looking at. And for me, I'm really trying to see when Houston hits that point where, you know, people view them differently. Because it felt like it was starting to happen after the rookie year for CJ, after D'Amico's first year. There was a lot of interest in them. But still, it wasn't like everybody was making them Super Bowl contenders or anything. We might have done that a little bit here locally.
Hell, CJ was getting mentioned as an MVP.
But CJ himself was getting a lot of love. But then it kind of fell off. I kind of want to see when that comes back. And did we get any love as of right now? So I'm going to do this way. I think a lot of people like doing a top 10 list, 10 to 1. I'm going 1 to 10.
Okay.
Because I think you probably would agree that Texans are more likely to be 10 than they are to be 1, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I think that'd be fair
That's
to
all
understand.
You can do, right?
Even as you're looking at this offense trying to be better, I don't know that you're looking at them as being the best one. So for the interest of drama, we'll do it this way. Who do you think is the number one offense in the 2025 season?
I would say the Baltimore Ravens.
I would too. Wouldn't you, Fig?
Yeah.
That's not where they went here.
What?
He went with the Buffalo Bills.
That's fair.
I was going to say.
That's fair.
Yeah, I was going to say Baltimore, Buffalo.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, Buffalo. Is Baltimore number two?
No.
Oh.
And this is where I'm like, eyebrows up, and I will do a little bit of my favorite segment that I like to call reading. Mm-hmm. It is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The reason that's stated here is...
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
They smoking on some good green over there, right, man.
Before I get to the reasoning that they give to us here, does that give you more or less confidence in how they're going to view the Texans? Because the Buccaneers...
Oh, more for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah. Just because, well, they're clearly thinking outside the box, and I think they're clearly thinking you're going to read in a minute, which, of course, you do well. I think they're looking at acquisitions and weapons.
Definitely talked about weapons, right? Wide receiver room, mentioning Chris Godwin working his way back. Emeka Egbuka obviously being drafted over there. Yeah, Bucky Irvin, who was fantastic toting the rock last year. And then they added, you know, they have the likes of Rashad White and Sean Tucker as depth in there. And yeah, man, Baker, there's also just a lot of love for Baker. He mentions it pretty, like, this is the second to last sentence. Savvy offensive coordinator Liam Cohen left to become the head coach, but on the plus side, the new play caller isn't a new face as Josh Grizzard was internally promoted. That feels like that not a small thing to just like throw all the way down.
Oh, by the way, they have a new
at the
OC.
Bottom of this.
That's never done it before.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's been in the building though. Yeah. He does know the process.
A lot of people been in the building.
He does know the process, but yeah, I did feel like that was a little lost, but to throw that, but two there feels a little much, but I can't admit, I mean, Tristan Wirfs is a fantastic offensive lineman as well. Like, the pieces are largely there for them to be a productive offense. I just don't think I would go two, especially over who they put as the number three team, which is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I wouldn't put them there, but it does make me feel a little better about it because the Texans added weapons, you know, that they might be ranked higher.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah. But the Ravens are three. I mean, do I need to explain any of this? Like, they still have the tandem of Lamar and Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. All of the passing attack is still there unless you view Mark Andrews as a depreciating asset, which I can understand. Oh, yeah, and that's right. They added DeAndre Hopkins as maybe a red zone threat or what have you. Number four.
I'm going to guess... I think the logical choice would... I'm going to say Washington.
You agree, Fig?
Yeah.
You both be correct.
Yeah.
And the first name on this, C.J. Stroud took the league by storm in year one before taking a step back year two. Can Jaden Daniels avoid the sophomore slump is the question that they have. There's a lot of talent that this offense has, and they added a couple more. Obviously, one of them, Laremy Tunsil, to protect Jaden Daniels because he had a little bit of running to do. But Deebo Samuel addition. I'm still intrigued just to see how capable Cliff Kingsbury is in utilizing Deebo Samuel, a very particular wide receiver. But then remember, they also roll out Josh Connerly Jr., one of my favorites in this draft. So we'll see if they're able to protect better and continue to produce. But they have a lot of that continuity that you talk about there. Five?
I was going to say four Philadelphia because it made more sense. But I know how everybody's in love with Jaden Daniels the way they were in love with C.J. Stroud after a rookie. So Philadelphia has to be five.
Fig?
I'm going to go with Philly, too.
Not Philly.
What?
Not Philly. A team in the NFC as well, though. Team that took them Detroit. Pretty deep. Detroit Lions.
Okay.
Philly was putting 50 on people.
League leading.
Yeah, especially with Saquon.
Yes.
Yeah, but the Lions led the league in offensive scoring last year.
I get that.
Yeah.
And that's one of those things that comes back here. Now,
I mean, are you familiar with Philadelphia's postseason run?
They did lose. How strongly do you think the loss of Ben Johnson should be attacked on to the Lions here?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah,
I don't know how strongly, but yeah, Philadelphia. And I'm not a fan, of course, but that's a lot of sixth at best. Are they sixth?
No, I think the whole Tampa Bay thing threw everything off now.
Yeah.
Denver is sixth.
Jesus.
We're talking about Bo Nix and offense. You're starting to get the feeling of what this list is, right?
Yes.
Eagles 7.
Oh, my gosh.
Green Bay Packers 8. Mentioning the addition of Matthew Golden joining all the playmakers that they have. And then Josh Jacobs as a running back was fantastic there last year. That was a revelation. I get that. But they're asking for, who is Jordan Love really? Is he the guy who, you know, has a slow start? Is he the guy who, you know, cooks on the wild card weekend? Mm-hmm. Is he the guy who throws a couple of second half picks in the week immediately after? Like, who is he? You're asking those questions about a quarterback that they have as the offense at 8. I will give LaFleur a lot of credit there for coordinating. Bengals 9 and Kansas City Chiefs 10. So the Texans are not top 10 here.
I don't even mind the Chiefs at 10. Is it unfair that the Texans are not 10? I don't think it's unfair. Not in the top 10?
I don't think so either.
Look at the squads that are there. Yeah,
and just the way the offense looked last year, and then they got rid of Laremy Tunsil with questions about the offensive line and all that stuff. I can understand that.
Yeah.
How far would you have to take out this top 10 offenses in the 2025 season for you to then find the Texans on there? Assuming that you have a decent level of agreement with what is being done here by Gennaro Felice of NFL.com.
They're probably. And do you have the rest of the list?
They it's top 10.
Oh, only top 10.
They just gave you top 10 here.
I would put them 12 or 13.
Okay.
Right? Somewhere in there, just based on run game and C.J. Stroud, you know, alone. And then the weapons they brought in, we talked about that with Tampa, you know, with Christian Kirk and Jaden Higgins and Nick Chubb. And, yeah, I'd say they'd be probably right in there 12, 13.
I think I would go a little bit lower also because it's something that we talked about earlier, right? With the way that this team is trying to go about it, game plan offense, you have a couple of guys doing things they had not done before in Nick Haley actually calling plays in a way that he had not prior. And then C.J. Stroud having so much control of the offense, I think there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve early in the season that's going to maybe hamper the way that the offense is viewed overall, even if it hits its stride as the season goes along, which I anticipate and I hope, assuming that the offensive line is hitting in the way that, you know, it's supposed to. But yeah, I feel like maybe closer to 14, 15 is where I put them. What is necessary, though? Because, again, there is something for, like, getting accolades, which I know the Houston Texans would probably like. I know we would like it. But really, the ultimate goal of the offense is to be effective enough to make this team capable of going and contending with some of these teams. And I don't know that you need a top 10 offense in order to do what you want to do with the way that this defense is. But I do wonder at what point is the cutoff for the type of offense that you need in order to do that.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, like, you know, just judging on C.J. Stroud, what a successful year would be. It's not necessarily 4,000 yards passing or anything. It's the mastery of the offense at the line of scrimmage and putting them in the right plays and everything. So that's part of it. But if you're asking what would be necessary, just adequate offensive line play. You don't even have to be great. Just good. And I think the weapons are good enough for you to maybe make that climb.
What is that cotton? So like 16th, just at average?
16th. Average offensive line, and this could be a very good offense.
And what's tough is I think what we've seen early, we have, you know, some level of speculation. We hear things from the likes of Jarrett Patterson and obviously Tyus Howard talking about what they think this offense can do. This offensive line is clearly going to be the linchpin of what this offense is capable of doing. We don't know until at least July 23rd, July 24th. Mm-hmm. When we start getting, like, maybe you see it immediately and we're like, all right, so this is going to be something different the first time they get out there. That's as soon as we can even start putting any level of respect on this offense. That's the earliest that we could probably do.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we'll have the answer then either.
And you won't. Yeah. You know, it'll be the first maybe Saturday scrimmage when they really go, something like that. And you'll get a real feel for who the five are and how they're playing. But even beyond that, preseason. I mean, preseason games. You do one or two series as they want to do, you'll probably have a good feel. That's it, though. It's going to be a while.
So, yeah, I mean, I just didn't feel like – I didn't feel disrespected by this, but it was a reminder that, hey, I mean, as much as we have a lot of appreciation for what these guys are doing and we get really close, I do think that there is something to be said for Tim, you know, pressing the brakes on what this offense can be or what the expectations should be. Coming out the gate, there's a lot of moving pieces as we've talked about. You're still trying to figure out how your tight ends or which of your tight ends will be the most productive. I think the wide receivers is an interesting thing because we feel good about it, but it is still something to be said for the young wide receivers you have stepping into roles. What is Nick Chubb at this point is a question.
Nick Chubb's top. He's one of the best running backs out there, man.
According to Madden. Yeah. All right, Woody Johnson over there. I see you playing this on Madden.
What do they have him, 89?
They had him at 89, overall in Madden. But, yeah, I think that's – it's probably fair to not have them as a top 10 offense. What do you think needs – like, what would be the one indicator, maybe outside of the offensive line, because that feels like the obvious one, that you would see that makes you go, oh, this is a top 10 offense this year, actually?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thanks, man.
The one indicator outside of the offensive line on the offense, it's Chubb.
Him being healthy and effective?
Chubb. Yeah.
And explosive, probably?
You get two of those dudes back there. Hey, it's been fun, Damien.
Oh, look at you. See, it always comes back to you trying to fire Damien.
I'm not trying to fire him.
It does not happen? Is this not what I'm seeing, Fig?
That's exactly what it is.
Y'all are the worst.
What do you mean? I didn't do that.
Next, you're going to say, I hope he ain't buying a house.
All right.
He's renting.
Where are you putting Damien then, if that's the case?
I mean, if that's the case, you know, you see about trying to acquire some value.
Oh, there you go. See?
Yeah, but
you just put it in a nicer way than I did.
Of course I did. that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Real quick before we go, Adam Schefter announced this, or at least I saw him announce it. I don't know if he was the only one to do that. Mm-hmm. But do you care about the ESPYs?
Occasionally. I check in. I'll watch it one year if I'm, you know, feeling the urge. But I'm always interested in what happens there. Yeah.
I don't care about the ESPYs at all. And so this is not going to move me that at all, but I do wonder, does this make you more or less interested in watching the ESPYs? The host for this year's ESPYs on July 16th, Shane Gillis.
Mm. That's going to be an awkward show.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. He's the type of comedian that really tries to make people feel awkward. Like, he'll say stuff. I know every comedian does it to a degree.
Sure.
But he says stuff that is like, ooh. Yeah. Like, he's one of those where you go, ooh.
His comedy, he does appreciate kind of pushing the boundaries at times.
It's like a
particular
roast.
Comedy.
Like a roast that goes too far, you know, with his comedy on. With working the crowd? Oh, working the crowd is going to get rough.
Yeah. I'm interested to see. Yeah. Well, I mean, I say that, like, I'm not probably not going to watch it. I might watch it.
Well, you'll know what goes on. You'll watch highlights.
That's right. That's right. Do you think that, though, even if you're maybe not more or less interested in it, how do you think that plays largely amongst the sports watching public, a Shane Gillis hosted ESPYs? Because it does feel like, first and foremost, though, compared to maybe some of the other ESPYs hosts, that it's not like a Peyton Manning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to be like a pretty huge sports fan.
Enormous sports fan, and he's a very successful comedian. But I'm telling you, there are going to be some squirmy type moments in there, like not Will Smith slapping anybody, but in that neighborhood.
I have a feeling that somebody getting up to slap Shane Gillis will go very differently than the way it went at the Oscars. I feel like the personnel that would be in the room would operate just entirely different.
Yeah, I think you're
to
right.
the people of the video, the movie, Motion Picture Academy. Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like that operates differently, don't you, Fig?
Yeah, yeah, unless Will Smith is there.
Why is Will Smith at the ESPYs? What you doing here?
Hey, he rapping, so it wouldn't surprise me if he was at the ESPYs.
Okay. All right, very good. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's about the time where we turn things over to Figgy Fig for Figgy's mixtape. What you got for us, man?
Yeah, so I got an update on the guy that was running throughout the Galleria Mall and decided to jump on a sheet of ice.
Oh, the man that broke his legs?
Yeah, both of them. Both of his legs. I got an update on that. Plus, I got clever ways to beat the heat without busting your budget.
Okay.
All right.
I got my notebook out for this because it's about to be another hot summer. So find out how to beat the heat next.
Yeah.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is the mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man, Ficky Fig, holding it down on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to everyone out there. So yesterday in the mixtape, this story came across the mixtape desk. News desk pretty much last minute yesterday.
Mixtape Central.
Yeah. So it came across the desk super last minute. I saw, shout out to my fake cousin, Ken Gilliard, who posted this video of this guy pretty much fleeing throughout the Galleria Mall and decided to do something so stupid that I don't know how stupider you could get. But, so apparently yesterday this guy jumped from a second floor story onto an ice rink.
Okay.
Trying to evade the police and broke both his legs.
Mm-hmm. Have I said that criminals are dumb?
You have.
Okay.
You have.
Some of them might be a little smart. I feel like the ones from New Orleans that's still on the loose, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You could probably put them in the smart category at this point. But so apparently this guy has been hospitalized after being accused from fleeing the police in the Galleria Mall. And this happened on Sunday. I guess we just found out yesterday when the video came up.
Do we know what time on Sunday? Like, had he found out?
It was 2:20 p.m. Yeah.
So he had already found out that KD was a rock and he decided to go out here stealing stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, so apparently the officers were alerted about a theft. And officers went to detain him, but he fled on foot and he ran off and jumped off the second story into the ice rink. I don't know what he was thinking about this.
Like,
getting away.
I mean, we see this in movies all the time. You know, you jump onto something that looks like it might be soft to help you get away. What about the ice rink made you think that this is a soft landing?
It's ice.
Literally.
Jumping off of anything, to be honest, man, yes. That ain't, like, this ain't James Bond where you could just jump off a building and just slide your way onto the ice rink.
I think he's, I don't know what, some superhero.
Yeah, I really want, like, so I want some truth serum to be real in this moment. Because I want to inject him with truth serum and find out what he was thinking at the moment. Yeah. Like, if he was smart, he wouldn't tell us ever. Like, that take that to the grave because you make yourself look dumber. But I just really want to know what the thought was in that moment.
Yeah, it's funny because after the mixtape, I decided to post a video because people, I was talking about it. I'm like, let me go on and post this video. And currently it got 56,000 likes. So it's going crazy. I got over 3,000 comments. This phone just been going off.
Yeah.
And people just making all type of funny jokes. The one that stood out to me the most was somebody saying, look at him laying there like Andy about to walk in the room.
That's so he broke from Toy both Story. Of his legs, bro.
He was just sitting there, and he was on the phone.
Oh, God.
He was sitting there on the phone. Like, dog, what are you doing?
Yeah,
wait, so he was on his phone when he stole it, and then he was still on the phone once he had broken his legs?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. Yeah, he was laying there. He couldn't do nothing.
He's
so
like,
I guess he's
going nowhere.
I guess
what did he steal?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm sure we'll probably find out real soon. But, yeah, he was just laying there looking so awkward. Everybody said he was looking like the Family Guy meme.
Oh, with Joe?
When he goes, oh, okay, that one. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, I guess I'll keep y'all updated. I just want to know what he stole, what was worth doing that for, man.
The first time that he speaks to someone about this.
It's a mistake.
I will be there. Because I just want to know more. And I just want to know why. Like, what brought you to this place? And then I think I brought this up yesterday. And Lopez, I want to get your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the gallery has got to be, like, the worst place to try and do a snatch and grab, like a grab and run.
I would guess, right?
It just feels like there's a lot. It's far to get to an exit.
Yeah, you don't know.
You got to be really calculated to do like a.
And I hope you didn't park in the parking lot.
It got to be a lot of people.
That parking garage is the worst in the town.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's why I said you got to be really calculated on some bank robbery type stuff. You got to have a getaway car out there. You got to take off, run fast. You can't just jump in the back seat and just take off on some on some the town type stuff.
All right.
The town.
No, seriously, man. That mall big as hell.
Yeah.
Is the town on the list of potential whatchamacallit?
Oh, I love that movie.
Kicks Rock said that he was laying there like Lieutenant Dan. Okay. Okay, we've got some deputy reporters here on the text line from the 832 said they think he posted a selfie of himself on social media. And then from another 832 and a 281, apparently they think he stole a pair of sunglasses.
Oh, God.
Man. So a pair of sunglasses admittedly can be really expensive, don't get me wrong.
But you don't need them.
And then also, yeah, I was like, there's no sob story on the other side of this. Like, my 5-year-old really needed these sunglasses to see or something. There's nothing on the other side of that. Yeah. And you broke not one, but both of your legs.
It's not worth breaking both your legs. Brother, I don't even know if he, I mean, I'm sure he would have gotten in big trouble, but I don't know. He wasn't doing no hard time. So is it worth doing that jump like that?
Well, I mean, clearly we would say no.
If I was those cats from New Orleans, I wouldn't do that.
No, like, I'm going.
I would be like, I'm caught.
I'm good.
Hey, you got me, big dog. You got me, man. This the end of the road. You got me. I would not do that. No, I would not do that,
man.
Another joke somebody said was he was running from police and got caught by ICE.
Wow. That one hits pretty hard in the current environment now, doesn't it?
Yeah. So I wonder if he's going to walk again, man, at this point. That looked bad. But, hey, salute to the police. They ain't have to do nothing to catch him.
I imagine that, and our law enforcement listeners could probably let me know. It seems like, from the outside looking in, there's not much the police enjoy or hate less, or hate more, rather, than having to run. So, yeah, they probably did appreciate that greatly.
Yeah. All right, it's the mixtape in the Loot Sports Radio 610. So, it's going to be a hot summer. This summer, every summer, I feel like it's a hot summer.
Truth.
And the Today Show on NBC had somebody on there pretty much giving tips on how to stay cool and not run up the price of your running the AC and all that stuff all the time. And I think Reggie might relate to this a lot.
Turn up the thermostat to 78 degrees.
What?
I knew, Craig, you were going to be like,
I don't even want that. Why?
78 degrees. Because it is the most efficient way to run your air conditioner.
Well, you're not really running it at that point.
Listen, you asked me for max tips to save money. I'm
78 is like you're turning the heater on.
Listen.
It's like, let's turn the heat on.
The energy department actually says turn it up even more when you leave the house for work. Close the curtains, draw the blinds down. So much heat gets into your home through your window. If you have ceiling fans in your home, look up, make sure the blades are spinning in a counterclockwise direction, and you're feeling the breeze coming down. Here's the thing about ceiling fans. They aren't cooling the room. They're just cooling you. So when you leave the room, turn them off. Turn up the thermostat.
78.
Yeah, even I was like,
Reggie, hey, like, oh yeah, I can agree with that. Yes. Okay,
hey, Reggie's going 80. Let's go to 80.
No, I guess I'm just a warmer individual, mm-hmm. but I'm 78 is wild, man. I ain't even doing none of that. That's
77 the max.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've already told you that my apartment worked different. It's just the heat rises. See the way my bank account is set. No, but sincerely, like, I'm trying to stay cool myself. Like, I'm not out here doing that. The one thing I will say, I am a big advocate of make sure that fan going the other way,
yeah.
to draw that heat up. Mm-hmm. Like, the one when I figured that out, I was like, wait, what have I been doing for all my life? Like, yeah. this changes the game here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the reaction when she goes, turn it up to 78. They all go, what? They go,
turn
what?
Up the thermostat to 78 degrees.
What?
I knew Craig.
And those are like, this is what the Today Show.
Buddy almost jumped out of the seat.
This is Today Show or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, those are very polished broadcasters that have been doing this for a long time. Like, I like the thought of them doing that on like a one of those local TV shows on a small town.
Like the morning TV, whatever. Because
those people would have
cussed. Good morning, Tulsa.
Those people would have cussed. Those people would have been like, what the bleep? Yeah, yeah. They would have absolutely done that.
Yeah.
This made me think, and what's tough is I'm trying to see if I can find it again on the internet, but I've long been told
mm-hmm.
that if you need to feel cool, you lick the back of your hand and it'll make you feel cool. And
you should do it right now.
I mean, I will, but...
Look right into the camera. Lick the back of your hand. Ugh. Yeah, gross.
It does make you feel cooler. It, like, if you just need a moment of reprieve.
Right there, it made you feel cool.
Yeah.
You're lying.
One way to find out.
I ain't gonna do it.
There's one way to find out.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So the XXL released their freshman list.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure people on here are like, who give a damn about the XXL freshman list? I'm sure some people are probably like, what the hell is that?
In the year of our Lord 2025?
Yeah, yeah. So the XXL freshman list is pretty much a...
Yes, John, you're raising your hand?
Yeah, I'm one of the people.
So
I got you.
So it's a magazine that used to release, they call it the freshman list,
mm-hmm.
of the newest rappers of the year.
Okay.
And right. it's kind of like an honor getting on there, especially if you a newer up-and-coming rapper.
Yeah, yeah.
So they put you on the cover and all that stuff. So, John, I'm glad you raised your hand on mm-hmm. this. I want you to read the new names of these rappers.
Lord, this is going to be a mess.
Oh, very good.
Because, like,
yeah,
and I'm going to screw
up. And let me
up.
Be clear. I know one person on here. I don't know any of
but
it.
But you probably would know how to pronounce it better than me, just as a rap fan, because they always put some weird twist on how to pronounce things.
Oh, I've actually heard of three of these. No, four of these.
All right, I'm going to go through the list. This is the 2025 XL freshman class.
Double XL,
mm-hmm. sorry. I'm going to say Ian.
That's Ian.
Ian.
It's Ian?
You see, you got in your head.
I went British.
You got in your head. It is I-A-N. It's very simple. Mm-hmm. You went over the top. You missed the that's the easy one.
But see, I went British on that. Laser Dim 700. Is that right?
I guess.
But I don't know.
We're going to go through this list, and I want to compare it to the 2010
all right.
list.
Ray Vaughn, Nino Paid, Lou Shimmy.
Is that Lo Shimmy? I don't know.
Lou Shimmy?
Is that L-O-E Shimmy?
I thought it might have been L-O-E Shimmy.
Lo Shimmy, I'll go with that. Eam Triplin.
This sounds like AI. Did you make an AI list?
No.
Baby Chief Do It.
Oh, look at you. I did not see that.
1900 Rugrat. YTB Fat. Samaracin and Jello.
Jello. We all know Jello.
Yeah.
So that's the only one I knew on this list.
Samaracin is actually, I think you would enjoy her. She's a really good rapper in my estimation. Ray Vaughn, okay. I think, is on TDE, I believe.
Yeah, I do remember him.
All right.
So those are the ones I got for you.
I wanted to bring this list up and kind of compare it to the list of 2010 because I feel like these names are getting a little bit ridiculous now, man.
Yeah.
I feel like in 2025, like, I don't understand these names at all. Mm-hmm. This was the list from 2010 on the XXL freshman list.
Okay.
J. Cole.
I'm familiar.
Peele.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Nipsey Hussle.
Knew him.
Freddie Gibbs.
Yep.
Big Sean. Mm-hmm. Wiz Khalifa. OJ the Juice Man. J-Rock. Faison.
Sean.
And Don. Is it Donis? I think it's Donis.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I think that those names sound equally like unintelligible if you are unfamiliar with any of them.
I don't know. Nipsey Hussle is a cool play on things.
On Nipsey Russell.
J. Cole, yeah.
Yeah, these are some cool names.
I mean, like, Big Sean, you'd think rapper, right? Big
yeah,
Sean.
Yeah, because you've gotten used to the naming convention of Big Blank.
Yeah.
But see, you could kind of look at these names and be like, okay, I kind of have an idea what this rapper is or whatever. These, like, Laser Dim 700, who the hell is that a group?
that sounds like some cutting edge Japanese electronics.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like I got a gun. I got that Laser Dim 700.
Oh, okay. Is that what that is?
Only, a power tool.
You know what? You're right. The only one
that does sound like a leveler, like a leveling power tool.
Yeah, it does. Like, you're right. The 2010 list, those sound like the conventional, as you put it, rapper names. How many, like, the only one that sounds like a rapper name to me, my very amateur expertise here,
certainly,
is like YTB Fat. That sounds like a rapper name.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Jello. The other ones, Lou Shimmy.
Yeah. 1900 Rugrat?
Yeah.
Like, who the hell is that?
Baby Chief Do It.
1900 Rugrat sounds like a really weird phone line.
Yeah.
I don't know. 1-900 Rugrat.
Sounds like they should be doing a made for TV commercial. This is the Laser Dim 700.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
With
the Billy Mays here with another fantastic product.
Yeah, the Laser Dim 700. To get those stains out in no time.
Yeah. But
so you're going to go listen to all these?
I'm going to probably check them out just to see. I'll give people a one song max. If I don't like that song, that's it.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah.
But I say that to say I feel like I'm old now.
That's exactly
looking at
what
these
the
rappers. That's the whole point of bringing this list up.
No, that's exactly what this is. See,
the hell is this?
The 2025 XXL freshman list for you was seeing all the juniors. And whenever the draft comes around and all of a sudden here's Asante Samuel Jr., you go, ooh.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It might even
here's Frank Gore Jr.
Yeah. It might even be worse than this, man.
Yeah.
Or this might be worse than that. Because I'm like, who is this? I sound like I don't even listen to rap music.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I just don't know who these cats are.
You're just getting old, that's all. You're just getting old. But there's nothing wrong with getting old. Ain't that right, Lopez?
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong at all.
I'll let you know.
when it happens eventually.
I'll let you know.
That's right. You're still very young. Appreciate you hanging out with us. That's Figgy's Mixtape. 1:20 p.m. every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610. At the Figgy Fig on social media is how you get at him. If you have something or if you see something that is mixtape worthy, shout him out. He'll shout you out when it comes time to playing it. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we'll talk to the fellas of The Drive. And also, you acquire KD. Do you still have an opportunity for a big move in your back pocket? Let's talk about that more next.
Hey, Lopez. The 832 on the text line needs you to just, you know, reach out to Tillman. Just email Tillman real quick and tell him to move some NBA Summer League to Tahoe instead of Vegas. Can you do that for me?
Yeah, here, let me pick up my phone. Okay. What does he want?
Move Summer League to from Vegas to Tahoe is what
that that's not how it works.
That texter is asking you to go ahead and uproot what is the biggest NBA convention of the calendar year.
And they
year.
Don't want
just move it real quick.
They want the event in Vegas, man. It's Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, in Tahoe in the summer, all you're going to do is go rainbow trout fishing, which I'm down with that.
We're actually not that far from Summer League now, I think.
No,
that's crazy. Draft tomorrow, free agency soon thereafter. And
is the draft still 2 days?
It is now. Mm-hmm. They made it into 2 days, which is the dumbest. Like,
so
this,
bad.
If you wanted to criticize Adam Silver, so the general bad. Or the commissioner of the NBA, it's there for you. Like, The NBA draft is not the NFL draft. You don't need 2 days for
this. Well, you need to tell Adam Silver you're not the NFL.
He's just trying to – he's probably trying to cover it up a little bit because he did it last year because of Bronny. So now he probably just want to
– I don't think it was just because of
Bronny. Man, much you want to bet?
Well, the bet I'd make is they did it because the TV –
everybody was glued the next day because Bronny was going to get drafted.
That definitely helped. Yes. Don't get me wrong. But I think the thought process is just, can we take this event and make it into a two-day TV product as opposed to a one-day TV product? But the second round of the draft just does not move the needle. Neither should it for people. Like, the idea that, I'm going to see this person who's going to turn out to be great, there's not a high likelihood of that necessarily. Even though we do see second round guys turn into viable players in the league, it takes a while.
I bet you when Adam Silver was a kid, he liked to play dress up.
What is that supposed to mean?
Because that's what he's doing. He's like, he's playing dress
up. He's dressing up like the NFL.
He's dressing up like the NBA is the NFL. It's not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what kind of accusation are you making right now?
No, not that kind of dress up.
Like, no, I mean, look. Dress up. If you were like, hey, he's dressing up as a doctor, I was like, what does that have to do with this right now?
He likes to play dress up with the NBA. We love the NBA, but we also realize what the NBA is. It's not the NFL. And second round picks? Come on.
Yeah, it's a lot. Honestly, man, it's a lot of basketball fans out here, but it's a lot of people that don't even know a lot of the people in the first round.
Yeah.
So let alone the second round.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why it's super important for teams to go ahead and for people rather to watch the broadcast and really lean on the draft experts, the likes of the Jonathan Givonis and what have you. They give you some of those things. All right. Is this an insane move? Entirely absurd move for the Rockets to potentially make, because obviously you trade away Kevin Durant. Obviously we talked about how it really was a steal. I don't know that you can characterize it any other way. Mm-hmm. But in the course of this, I saw at least a couple of people mention that, man, you didn't even give up that much. You still got some stuff where you could even try and still go get Giannis if you wanted to. And I was like,
No.
So you're not there.
I just don't think it could happen.
Well, you still have 5 tradable first-round picks.
Yeah.
You still have young talent, which you would have to. I think off the top of my head, you would need to have Alperen Şengün as the base of it in order to start getting salary close. Mm-hmm. I think you end up in that place where you do have to give up one of those young guys in the law firm of Tari and Bari between Jabari Smith Jr. and Tari Eason. Mm-hmm. And then probably you put in Jock Landale to make the money work with with the guy who has a max salary or max contract. Yeah. Is it too insane to bring that? Is that entirely absurd, that particular move, on top of the move that you made for Kevin Durant, Lopez? I know that you loved him. I know that you were.
I wanted Giannis.
I know.
Yeah.
Are you in a place where you're like, absolutely not, or is that something that you would still be interested in?
Well, look, I think where you are is what you would be doing is you're just completely blowing up the squad. You're just, it's just because it's a complete redo. They talk about, like everything would change. Like who's, every role would change. You'd be minus, 4 or 5 players from last year's squad, probably?
Yeah.
You're blowing it up. And we know that the Rockets have been, smart, or certainly with the Durant deal, they were smart kind of waiting it out and getting the deal they wanted. With Giannis, I don't care how smart you are, it's going to cost you a lot.
Yeah, the thing, I mean, I just couldn't get there. Even though, the cost, you still have the ability to pay the cost. Mm-hmm. The problem is, the beauty of the Kevin Durant trade for me is that you still have that future in addition to having the things that you have right now.
Yeah.
At that point, you are, giving up some of your future. The guys that are currently situated to be your certain level of future with Jabari, Tari, one of those guys. And then you'd be kind of getting out of the Alperen Şengün business, which I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah.
But then also, all of those draft picks that I think continue to offer interesting futures of capital in order to make your team better if you need to.
Gone.
But then also, as guys get better and maybe get to the time where they need to get their cash in, right? If you're capable of signing them back, cool. If you're not, where do you replenish talent? Because especially in this new modern NBA where it's not just about getting guys and paying a whole bunch of them like maybe the Warriors did. It's getting guys and then finding ways to supplement them with younger, talented guys as well. Those draft picks become useful in that way as well. And so giving up those future assets might not be the way that I want to play it personally in order to go to what I think, Figgy, you were describing almost as like the old school big three model.
It's a super team.
Which, again, it feels like we had just moved out of the era of the super team, especially because the CBA actively is trying to knock that down.
No, it'd be fun to watch, but I don't, number one, I don't think it would happen. I don't think you want to blow up your squad. Your point is obviously accurate, too. Even if you do somehow get them in, how long do you have them and what's behind them? Yeah, no, I was preferring Giannis for a while there, but I don't think it's happening.
Yeah, so I mean, I wanted to speak to it just because I saw that kind of coming up. Now, someone did hit us up on the text line and said, I mean, Ben Simmons, he's done in Brooklyn. It looks like now, with that being the case,
he was in LA,
or yeah, LA rather. So people are talking about
didn't
the
even
idea
notice
trying to get Ben Simmons, like. I don't know how much I like Ben Simmons as an addition. Like, he feels like he fits very nicely with the role that he had with the Clippers as a backup center. And I feel like you're good here center-wise, right? I feel like you're largely okay with Alperin and then Steven Adams, where you can get to that double big if you want to. Jabari as a big that kind of slides in there. And then maybe you end up with, you know, do you keep Jock Landale? Maybe do you return Jeff Green possibly on a relatively friendly deal? I think you're talking about someone at the very back end of it there. Maybe you want to use Ben Simmons in that way. I'm not all that in on that.
I'm good with what they have right now, man. You know, just the way it is. We were talking earlier, just little tweaks is all you need and be able to fix roles and get elevated play from certain players. You're good. You don't need to. And it's not a matter of like you don't want Giannis. It's just you're good with the way you are.
Yeah. All right. So right now, let me speak to something I'm sure that this man walking in, Ron Hughley, would love to hear about. Mm-hmm. And I say that entirely facetiously. I don't think he has any tie to this. I saw this earlier. It just came down today. Apparently, James Harden is being sued. And it does have a tie to Houston because the allegations did take place in Harris County, the home that James Harden has. Apparently, he's being sued for negligence in what is being described as a sexual assault case. So, supposedly, James Harden's nephew, Justice Armoni Blackburn, is being accused of sexual assault at a New Year's party at his home, not his, but James Harden's home in Houston. So, the plaintiff is alleging that Blackburn, the nephew, raped her at the party while she was unconscious, and then alleges that there was negligence against Harden due to the conduct of his security.
Conduct?
Yeah, I'm very intrigued as to what that actually means.
Yeah.
Says that Harden is vicariously liable, reading directly from the lawsuit, for actions of his guards and their corporate employer, who were named as defendants as well. So, I mean, James Harden, he seemed like he had found a level of stasis in this in the league. It seemed like he found a good role. And, I mean, obviously this isn't specific to his play, but This is not a place that you want to be if you're James Harden having to handle things of this caliber in this particular tenor.
I wonder what Tony Busby's involvement might be.
Okay. Is that was the takeaway?
No.
Is that,
no, I mean, it's common sense.
It's like
this
he's
point.
Sniffing around.
It's common sense at this point.
Like that's lining up right with him.
You're putting the ball on a tee.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess I won't go do nothing this.
Yeah.
This July, but hell, I guess.
Well, we can jump in here and do something.
Go to Italy.
Yeah, we can go to Italy next month. I got this thing to mess with. No, I'm being dead serious. That's right in his wheelhouse.
Man, it's just like, what is up with folks getting into this particular kind of trouble?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this, don't do that in this area, man. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
But that's.
Hopefully, whoever is being accused of, hopefully that didn't go down.
Yeah.
It's obviously would be a terrible situation.
What I miss, boys?
Apparently, James Harden is being sued for negligence, and his nephew is being accused of sexual assault. That's happening.
Went down at his house.
Yeah, went down at his house New Year's is what the allegations are. So that's
turd alert
there. Maybe that pops up in the segment there for Tyler. But
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.